Hi, welcome to Promo Insiders, an ASI media podcast that covers the issues that matter most to the promotional products industry. I'm Chris Ruvo for ASI, and today we're talking mergers and acquisitions, more specifically, the recently announced major deal that saw SignZone, the parent company of top 40 supplier Showdown Displays, acquire AAA Innovations, a long-established New York-headquartered hard goods supplier. Following the acquisition, annual company revenue across promo and other business channels is expected to be around $200 million. Here to discuss the deal and what it means is SignZone CEO John Brueleman, a member of Counselor's Power 50 list of promo's most influential people, and Jeff Nanis, former owner and current president of AAA Innovations, also one of promo's foremost supply chain experts. Thank you both for being here today with me.
Oh, you're welcome. Nice to be here.
You're welcome, good, Chris. Absolutely thrilled.
All right, so let's jump into this first question. I think we had some questions come in from readers after this the news of this big deal broke. Basically, why bring these companies together? How does it benefit you both?
Yeah, I'll jump in and take a stab at that. Chris is the acquirer. I'll start by saying this. I've been a longtime admirer of Jeff and his company. AAA is something that we've watched, I'll say from afar, but closely too. Over the years, Jeff and I have gotten to know each other. And again, I'm a fan, right? And it not only that, but it's a category, a product category, or categories plural, that always intrigued us, right? Especially with our Showdown line. It seemed to be a natural extension. It fit within our stated strategy of, hey, we're not trying to be everything to everybody in the promo industry. We're really going to stick to our knitting, which to us means large format printed displays, printed outdoor items like what they had. And well, a specific example, it doesn't take too much imagination to go from a tent, an imprinted tent, to an imprinted patio umbrella, or what we would call market umbrellas, or then to a handheld umbrella. And there was some product line overlap already, limited. But it, from that standpoint, the product additions made sense to us. That was the first thing. And the second thing that really made some sense to us was the operational synergies that are there. You alluded to Jeff's expertise in the international, what I'd call international supply chain. And I think that's right. Phenomenal job there. But also the manufacturing printing operation they have now in New York, we'll get to that, was attractive to us to say, you know what, we need to grow our operating footprint. This is one way to do it. So there's synergies across the board, and that's what first attracted us to the deal.
Makes a lot of sense. And Jeff, maybe from your perspective, why SignZone? Why out of all the potential acquirers out there, we know there's a lot of M&A happening in the market. Why was SignZone the right way to go for AAA?
Well, I think it fit in a variety of areas. One, certainly their position in the marketplace, being a top 10, top 12 supplier in the industry, and having just an amazing reputation. Always delivering on time, always delivering the highest quality product. I think that's something that we share. Certainly we share lots of consistent values with Showdown, including integrity, transparency, but we're selling high quality products. I also think that SignZone has really an innate ability to help grow the company. Their production capabilities, their experience, their knowledge, their expertise, even their equipment, that our company's been on a really nice growth road for many, many years. And this was a way to continue that growth. And it just was a really nice fit. And candidly, I've gotten to know John Brueleman over a long time period. And it was easy to do a deal with John because he's such a great guy.
Yeah, you know, Jeff, you told me it was because you lost a bet or something some way along the way, right? No? But thank you. Hey, Chris, thank you, Jeff. Chris, one thing I should add to that, which sure, neither of us mentioned, but not by design. The biggest reason to do this is not internal for either one of us. I think both Jeff and I would wholeheartedly agree. If this didn't benefit, and we truly thought that this would be ultimately a benefit to our customers, it would not make sense, right? And so we truly do. There will be a process, you know, that we work through to capture the synergy. But it's not, when people talk about synergies, a lot of times it's very internally focused. We want this to be externally focused. Our customers will see benefit from this. And we can get into that a little bit if you like. But just to reiterate, we would not have done this, either one of us, if we didn't think this was a good thing, a very good thing for our respective customers.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point, because sometimes when people hear synergies, they like wonder what that means. Like, is it going to, you know, are you going to be able to do things better on, you know, on the back end? But how am I, as your customer, going to see that? And so those synergies, it sounds like, result in everything from better service to better product. Is there maybe a point or two you want to highlight, either of you, relative to that?
Sure. I mean, I'll reemphasize, this doesn't happen overnight, right? When you put two companies of our size together in distinctly different places, bit different product lines, some of this will take some time. But certainly, there's going to be an operating efficiency here that potentially we make the former AAA, current AAA product line, some of it in one of our facilities in Minnesota. Maybe we start manufacturing that in the Czech Republic, and it becomes faster and maybe even less expensive to our customer base. It becomes a little more of a one-stop shop eventually. And the same thing I would say for the new facility that AAA just moved to, which I know you're going to ask about, in New York. What a great way potentially to have a greater presence there. Showdown product line, potentially serving current customers along the Eastern Seaboard in a faster, less expensive freight-wise manner. So those are just two examples.
All right, great stuff. And since you brought it up, how about that new facility? Jeff, is it, can you remind me how big is it going to be, and why go there? You were in northern New Jersey for a long time, and now I think this new facility is in Orangeburg, New York. Can you just tell us about it?
So the new facility is 4.5 miles from the old facility. We were on the border of New York and New Jersey, so it's not a huge, it's added 8 minutes to my commute, but it's not a big deal. We were in 4 separate buildings, and now this gave us a chance to go into one facility. The building is just under 120,000 square feet, the key for us is that it has 40-foot ceilings, so it's racked to the hilt. A lot of our product is very large, so having the ability to warehouse everything and be under one roof will give us so many economies of scale, and that was the plan right from the start.
All right, very good. And I'm just curious, was that something that was already happening prior to acquisition talks, or is that something, so that was already in the works for a while? That was just something AAA was looking to do.
We had been looking for a new facility for 2 years.
Okay.
So with the changes that occurred during COVID, very hard to find facilities to move into in this area. So it was a long process, and we signed our lease. We had any kind of arrangement with SignZone.
Got it. All right, interesting stuff. And John, very well noted on the on having that presence now on the East Coast benefits existing SignZone/Showdown Displays customers. So good one for people to keep in mind. I want to shift gears though, if I could, to sustainability, because it's been a very big topic, as we know, in the industry. I think maybe in the past it was maybe looked at as a trend, or it would kind of rise and fall in popularity. But it seems like we've reached a point where it's a bona fide movement, if you will, not just in our industry, but in others. It's here to stay. And both of your companies have focused on this to a degree. And I was wondering if you could maybe tell folks just about what some of what you both have done, and then where things might be going from a sustainability standpoint, since it's a question we hear so much.
Right. Well, I'll take the first part of that. But first of all, I'll say you are correct, Chris. This isn't it isn't a fad. It's not going anywhere. We get asked about it every day, multiple times a day, as does Jeff. We're committed to it, right? And I know that's a cliche when people, how are you doing that? Well, specifically for Showdown, we're EcoVadis Silver level certified. We have plans to get to the very highest level certification as soon as we can, and activities are going on for that right now. And by the way, that I would say is globally. It is not just here in the U.S., but in Europe. The same activities are going on for Showdown, but maybe this is bragging a little bit or tooting the horn a little bit, but Showdown's always been at the forefront of that type of activity. So you, whether it's something coming out of California and the consumer safety product rules and things like that. We have always strived to be 100% compliant with any regulation, any rule that's out there. But beyond that, it's something that we actually talk about at our company in little ways. You didn't ask about this from a product standpoint, but I'll throw some minor examples. We have an Earth Day celebration at our facilities in Minnesota coming up next week, where employees are getting paid time off to get involved with something that is going to help the planet, right? So that's even some of our policies that we have about remote work are driven in part, at least, by the impact on the environment. And another sort of cliche, but I do mean it. We haven't publicly said that, hey, we'll be carbon neutral by whatever year it is. But we do want to get there. We will get there, and we have certainly an eye on that. So that's what we're doing from the Showdown side. I know Jeff has made huge strides, and one of the things that attracted us to the company in the first place.
Well, in terms of being sustainable and being eco-friendly, we've really tried to focus on product. So as you and I have talked before, Chris, that every single product that we could move to have some eco-friendly certified material, we did. But as we've learned an awful lot in terms of what the industry expects for sustainability, for being eco-friendly, and what their customers and the end users are looking for. So I don't think that there's a Fortune 500 or Fortune 1000 company that doesn't want to use eco-friendly materials or eco-friendly products. Many suppliers in the industry charge more for eco-friendly product. So if a customer has a choice between spending less or spending more, they may say, okay, well, we want to be eco-friendly maybe next time. So price is a very important factor. Other suppliers, in order to get to the price, they make the eco-friendly product at a lower quality level. We won't do that either. So we offer the same quality product with eco-friendly product, eco-friendly materials at the same price. I think the third leg to that triangle is being able to effectively communicate that to the end user. So if you have an eco-friendly product and it's priced right and it looks great, the end user needs to get the benefit of, hey, look, we're a good company. Look what we're doing. So whoever's getting that product needs to know that this particular product was made with eco-friendly materials. So the communication of being eco-friendly is very important as well. And we've always tried to be ahead of it. One of the issues that's a new issue in our industry is these forever chemicals, PFAS. We're the first company in our industry that all of the product that we're making now, we don't have to be compliant until next January, but we've already started. So every new umbrella coming out of our facilities overseas now will be compliant. So we'll be compliant before everybody else. And all of these things, I think, have been factors in terms of our continued growth.
Yeah, so many good points from both of you there. I just want to reemphasize one I think that you made there, Jeff, and that's And that's if industry suppliers are taking steps to do these things, with whether it's with product or with working towards carbon neutrality, whatever it might be, that's a great narrative for distributors to present to end buyers, because end buyers can then market themselves as in alignment with those sustainable, but hey, we're providing you with this t-shirt or whatever it might be, and it's made from such and such recyclable materials, and that's a great narrative that those end buyers can share about their brand. So just a quick aside there, that we always want to emphasize the importance of that. Going to shift gears now a little bit to the broader stage, if you will, to the global stage. Showdown, as you've mentioned a few times, John, has a presence in Europe. And I'm just wondering how operations there are going, and if you have plans for things like acquisitions or any kind of expansion in, you know, overseas.
Right. Yes, we do. And thanks for that question. In short, the operation over there is going extremely well. I'm very, very happy with what we've done there. And I say we, it's the leadership team in our Showdown Displays Europe that is really doing well. And the business is doing well. Now, in Europe, we don't sell as much into the promo market as we do here. For the people that are watching that are familiar, and I know there are many promo suppliers, distributors that are involved in Europe that are based in the U.S., so they know. But it's what I would call less defined. The channel is a little less defined, of course, there. And so we do less of a percentage of our sales into the promo market. They're all resellers, but different types of channels. But I'm happy to say we're growing that segment now. We've got individuals dedicated to the promo segment in Europe. And we're seeing a significant growth. In particular, I would say, especially interesting are, and this acquisition will actually help with that, large customers here of ours in the U.S. that want to be able to do business with us in Europe, this is really starting to take hold. And, you know, the one area that we still, I'd say, have some work to do, as everybody does, is after Brexit in the UK, it's become more difficult to ship products from mainland Europe and get them there in a timely fashion into the UK. But we do have a print presence through a partnership now in the UK. So that has helped our promo sales and presence, and I'll call it in the greater Europe than we've had before. So I'm extremely happy with how it's going there. And our European team is already asking about umbrellas. So that's a good thing too.
You know, and I was going to say, given we know that Europe is a quote ahead of us when it comes to sustainability initiatives, certainly the European promo market. And I have to think that with the type of products that you know, AAA sells, that's a strong market proposition there. You know, being able to tell, hey, we're making these things with eco-friendly materials, it's a nice new entry point, I would think, to that market, at least from what I've seen in the European market.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think that's right. One thing that Jeff and I should make clear, that was a perfect lead into it. So Showdown and AAA are operating today as independent brands. Right. Mm-hmm. And so you won't be able to, for people watching this, I am going to call Jeff and buy a table thrower. I'm going to call John or Kevin Walsh, the president of Showdown, and purchase a market umbrella. That isn't the way this is working, at least not yet. So the AAA line is the AAA line. The Showdown line is the Showdown line. And we'll get to all that eventually. But for right now, these are two distinct brands, and that's the way we're operating. But your point is well taken. Any of those products on the AAA side, especially given the sustainability factor, can be good entry points to be added in Europe, certainly.
Got it. All right. Thank you for clarifying. Going another direction here. We're going to try to hit a lot of stuff today because we got you guys and you got some interesting insights to share. So I want to talk about mergers and acquisitions more broadly. It seems like there was a lull there. Not seemed, there was. We could say definitively there was a lull in M&A for a little while toward maybe the latter half of 2023. It seems to have picked up considerably again in 2024. There's statistics. I won't bore everybody with citing them, but that support that. I'm just curious what you think. do you think that we're going to continue to see that uptick in M&A and that continue to be a significant factor in our industry?
Right. And so I'll take that first, but I certainly do. I think a little bit of that answer will be, in my opinion, it depends. But I certainly see continued consolidation. Yes, it has slowed down at least for a while. Now you're seeing that again. And I would say both on the supplier and the distributor side, we're going to see more of that. On the supplier side, I do think if interest rates start to come down a little bit in the second two quarters of the year, that will accelerate that activity, right? Being private equity owned, we get to see a lot of that chatter and activity. It's just like buying a house. There's going to be more activity if the mortgage rates are lower and if there's willing buyers and willing sellers, which I think in our industry there will be. Even if the interest rates stay unchanged, I think you're going to see significant activity. If those go lower, I think that will accelerate it.
Interesting. Jeff, what's your take on that?
Well, I agree 100% with John. I think the only other things I think I could add is that there is a consolidation on both sides occurring. The bigger companies are accounting for a much larger percentage of the volume, and that's going to continue, I think, on both sides. On the supplier side, it's very important for us to be important to the bigger distributors as well. And so having a company that's now $200 million in sales puts us in a way different spot. And I think that that part will continue. I also think if you look around the industry, there are a lot of suppliers that the owners of those companies are older. And so they're looking for an exit strategy. And if you don't have family members or you're not selling to employees, this makes all the sense in the world.
Interesting stuff. For whatever it's worth, I happen to agree with you. I think that we're just going to see more and more of it. And particularly the point on bigger companies, I think, wanting to have the support of a large entity, and then also the interest rate factor too, just being key in driving that this year.
Chris, I want to add one other thing.
Sure.
As a smaller company, we don't have the resources that a bigger company can have, and our distributors are asking us for more and more testing, for more and more all kinds of things that we would need to in order to better handle our customers, to be better suppliers, and that the bigger companies just have the ability of doing more. And I just see in a very short period of time, all the amazing resources that Showdown has and what we'll be able to bring to the market now that we couldn't before.
Interesting. All right. Great point. Going to dovetail here into supply chain, because ever since COVID, it's on everybody's mind, and it's always an issue. Thankfully, we're not in the dark days that we were a few years ago with the madness with inventory and everything. But there still seems to be that disruption is kind of a norm. And I'm just curious, where do you kind of feel the industry supply chain stands right now? And what, if any, issues do you anticipate impacting it, if at all, through this year?
Maybe we'll let Jeff take the first stab at that one. We teed him up as the international supply chain expert, which he is.
I don't know about that, but we import an awful lot, needless to say, and we have a great import team. So I'm the beneficiary of having great support behind me. I'm not sure that we're seeing disruption in supply chain at the moment. The factories in China are all working and producing product as quickly as needed. And right now, as you and I have discussed, that more and more boats are getting through the Panama Canal. They're expecting a great season. The prices have normalized regular levels, but at reasonable prices. And so at the moment, things are pretty calm, even with what happened in Baltimore. The New York Harbor seems to be well equipped to handle whatever else needs to happen. So we haven't seen that at the moment. Clearly, with all the things going on in the world, anything can happen at any moment. But right now, like, it's pretty calm.
Yeah.
John, do you concur with that? Are you seeing anything out there?
Yeah, I mean, I do. You always have to be, let me back up just a little bit. This is something that, what I'm talking about when I say this, it's an international supply chain risk. It's always something you have to keep an eye on. And obviously, we all learned that the very hard way during the dark days of COVID. But it's been something at Showdown that we've been dealing with for some time and actively moving sources of supply either closer to home or just frankly away from China. So and we've made great progress in doing that. Now, that's it's easy to say you should reduce your risk specifically on your Chinese partners. When there still is a significant cost advantage to be had. So people like to talk about, well, supply chain risk. Well, yes. So where's the trade-off there? If you were going to manufacture something in the United States, yeah, probably less risky than getting it from China. But if it costs $2 more per item, or the customer's willing to pay for that, frankly, they don't really care about whether it's your risk or not. And I guess I wouldn't either. So it's a balancing act, right? And we have AAA has a feet on the ground in China, as do we. And so we have some capability there, but we have a global sourcing team that will be taking a look across all of our supply base and saying, where can we share resources here? What can we do better to help mitigate that risk? And it could mean we look at some other low-cost countries. Showdown is a bit vested in Mexico now, where we're buying out of Mexico too. So simple things like that. China's always going to be there. I agree with Jeff that in today as it sits, I don't view the risk as huge, but it's there and you need to keep one eye on it sort of as you go forward.
All right, good to know. And just a little aside on this, tariffs, of course, were such a big issue. I want to say five, six, 7 years ago. There's not that they've gone away, but it was kind of supplanted by other larger issues on supply chain. Any concern about any tariffs that are out there right now? Where I read today about, hey, we might be looking at accelerated tariffs on steel and aluminum. Anything like that has concern for either of you?
I'll jump into that. That's a interesting question and phrased, Chris, an interesting way. Anything that gives you any concern about any, there's always stuff that gives me concern about.
Sure.
Especially on tariff issues, customs issues, and it spans the runs the gamut. So there's always something that's concerned. Is there anything specific that I look at today that's that we haven't been hearing about or dealing with for the last 20 years? Not really. Those things pop up. And we are, I think, well enough positioned that if something happened, and I say we even as a collective entity now, if something happened and, oh, well, this is increasing your cost 50% overnight, we could adjust to that. We have other avenues to approach or to go down. So yes, concerned. Do I lose sleep at night over that one? No.
Got it. Thank you. So here, let's maybe look again at right back at the at the companies we're talking about here. I'm just curious how the year's going. We're kind of wrapping up our first quarter report on industry sales, and I'm just curious what you're seeing, just how Showdown and AAA are performing.
Yeah, Jeff, you want to go first on the AAA side on this one?
Yeah, well, last year was the best year in the history of our company since 1909, and we had just an amazing first quarter, and we're up still even in the second quarter, so we're We're very optimistic with where the year is going, and we think that things are only going to get better. Again, we're having just a great year so far.
Any sense of what's driving that, Jeff?
I think it's a combination of things. I certainly think that that our position in the marketplace, being an eco-friendly company without eco-friendly prices, with normal prices, has really propelled us to growth. And you know, one of the questions that we were talking about is you know, hot products. We have a hot line of products right now. We are the official hard goods supplier of Igloo, and the Igloo brand has done exceptionally well with us so far. The feedback's fantastic. So that's just been like putting our foot on the gas pedal.
All right, very, very good. Great to hear. Always encouraging. John, how about Showdown and Sign Zone?
Yeah. So I'll 2023 was a very good year for us. And I would say that's true globally, right? And I would assume you're asking mostly about our North American business here. So I'll stick to that. But you know, so far in Q1, I would say we're up in the promo market specifically. Not double digit growth or anything like that. It's up slightly over Q1 last year, but Q1 last year was in my recollection, and even as I get older, maybe my recollection is not as good as it once was, but it's safe to say that Q1 of 2023 was our biggest growth quarter ever. So we were up against a pretty tough measurement, but we're still up from that a little bit, again, in the promo world specifically, right? And so what do I think is driving that? For us, it's less about any sort of hot product or any sort of you know, trend that's going on. I would say it has everything to do with what's going on both in the promo market, but even more specifically what's going on with end users, right? So to me, I think what we're seeing, and many of our customers, I talk to them regularly about what they're seeing too, and I think it mirrors, our experience mirrors theirs, where it's still a little bit of uncertainty coming into 2024 at the end user level. Is this our thing, recession, going to happen? Is it not going to happen? Maybe we don't need to do this big project right now. We'll kick that down the road. And it's feeling to me like that is starting to loosen up a little bit. So our trends now, we're doing very well at the start of Q2 here. Our orders trends have mirrored what I've talked about, or a little bit of a loosening up of the end user market, I think. And the customer optimism is strong. I think they're saying and seeing the same things. And I do expect that this industry is going to grow in 2024. And at the end of it, you know, I don't think it'll be one of the best years on promo record across the board, but it will be a year of slight growth, I think.
All right, interesting. You anticipated my final question, which was how did you think the industry is going to do as a whole? So thank you for that. So Jeff, let's get your take on that. Just how do you see promo, again, not AAA or Showdown specifically, but the industry as a whole doing this year, and why?
Well, I think historically during an election year, there's always been some juice, a little bump for promo as a whole. It really doesn't affect our business. But candidly, you know, we don't have, based on the size of our company, we don't have a global view of how the industry is doing. We get a chance to grow, even if we grow as a function of stealing share from other people. So we're in a good spot in terms of growth from our positioning in the market. And you know, honestly, it's anecdotal what I know about the industry and talking to larger distributors, that I think they would mirror exactly what John said.
All right, so the prediction is for growth, maybe not stratospheric growth, but we're looking to be up as an industry. So that's always encouraging to hear after the first full quarter of the year. We're coming to the end here. I want to thank you both again so much for joining me. You've given me over half hour of your time, so thank you so much. Just the floor is yours, so to speak. Do either of you want to share any final thoughts or takeaways for the people who might be listening? John, I think you're on mute.
How did that happen? Okay. Well, I would take an opportunity to do that. I guess what I would leave everybody that's watching with here is probably two things. I would reiterate that the biggest reason to do a deal like this is because you think it will benefit your customers. And then ultimately, if your customers like it, that will benefit us as an organization. And that's the intent. Two, collectively, we remain committed to the promo market. Okay. So anytime you see one of these deals, you know, is somebody getting away from their core business? Is somebody trying to find other things to do? We sell through other reseller channels, right? But we're committed to the model. Promo is by far the largest market that we serve, and we are committed to it. We are built to help our promo customers. That is what makes us go. And if anything, we are going to get better at that. Okay. After this combination. So for everybody watching, I want you to please hear that clearly. We're committed to this market. We're committed to you. And we're going to make this sing for you, and it's going to benefit us all.
Great, great stuff, John. And Jeff, anything to add to that?
Well, just what I would say is this is a very exciting time for me and for our company that through the acquisition by SignZone, we see, you know, how the opportunity to accelerate our growth will be because of all the resources that SignZone provides, and how AAA can be a much stronger company as under the SignZone umbrella.
Oh, what a way to end that. I bet you had that one planned from the start, didn't you? Okay. Very good. Well, there's no better way to end it than that. So, John, Jeff, thank you both so much for joining me today. This has been a lot of fun. I hope you enjoyed it too.
Thanks, Chris.
Thank you, Chris.